Before we go to the Word of God, let us pray. Father, we come now to the reading of Your Word, reading of the Scriptures, and the hearing of the preached Word. May we be those people who praise Your name, who hear Your Word and receive it, who come with receptive hearts and minds. Let them not be cloudy, and let us not spit them out, but receive it with joy and love for You by Your Spirit's strength and illumination, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. We turn to the letter from Paul to the Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 1, and we'll read verses 3 through verse 14. Verses 3 through 14. This is God's Word. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ, just as He chose us in Him before the foundation of the world, that we would be holy and blameless before Him. In love, He predestined us to adoption as sons through Jesus Christ to Himself, according to the kind intention of His will, to the praise of the glory of His grace, which He freely bestowed on us in the Beloved. In Him we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses according to the riches of His grace, which He lavished on us in all wisdom and insight. He made known to us the mystery of His will according to His kind intention, which He purposed in Him with a view to an administration suitable to the fullness of the times, that is, the summing up of all things in Christ, things in the heavens and things on the earth. In Him also we have obtained an inheritance, having been predestined according to His purpose, who works all things after the counsel of His will, to the end that we who were the first to hope in Christ would be to the praise of His glory. In Him you also, after listening to the message of truth, the gospel of your salvation, having also believed, you were sealed in Him with the Holy Spirit of promise, who is given as a pledge of our inheritance, with a view to the redemption of God's own possession, to the praise of His glory. That is the Word of God. Now, following the greeting section of verses 1 and 2, Paul begins with a prayer. The prayer lasts through verse 23, the end of the chapter, and it's broken up into two parts. The first part, verses 3 through 14, we begin studying this evening, and it's a prayer of praise. And this prayer of praise is one long sentence. And you can't see that in your English translations. English would never allow this. But as Paul wrote from verses 3 to 14, he wrote it in one long run-on sentence of praise. It's like he could not stop to put the period, or, you know, he didn't have periods, but he couldn't stop. He had to continue praising God and writing about it. And so that's what we have before us. And then verses 15 through 23, the second part is a prayer of petition, prayer of supplication to the Lord, lifting up His desires before the Lord, and our desires as well. But first we come to verses 3 through 14. And here in this prayer he exalts God for the wonderful things that He has done for His people. And do you see the great truths that you find here? You see, just look through verses 3 through 14, all the great doctrines that are here. There's predestination, union with Christ, sanctification, God's love, adoption, worship, redemption, Christ's sacrifice on the cross, God's grace, His forgiveness, God's will, preaching, salvation, pneumatology, which is the doctrine of the Holy Spirit. And the list can go on. I'm sure there's more here. This is jam-packed full of rich doctrine. And so I hope you don't think that I'll try to preach it in one sermon. I don't know how anybody could do that. But if you look at these 12 verses, verses 3 through 14, and you really see what Paul is praying for, and you adopt that prayer for your life, and you want exactly what he wants, and the Lord wants, your life will be changed by this prayer. I'm not exaggerating. Your life will be changed by this one prayer. And so this is a life-changing prayer. That's the first point. A life-changing prayer. Whether these truths are believed in for the first time, or whether you actually apply this to your life, and not just you read through it and you continue on your way, but you actually apply this to your life and apply this type of prayer to your life, or whether you turn from sin and cling to these truths that are here, your life will be changed. There's no doubt. And so, very short, that's a life. This is a life-changing prayer. Well, second, the foundation of this life-changing prayer, and this will be most of the sermon. The foundation of this life-changing prayer. As you look at this prayer, what is the foundation? Where does he begin? Who is the? We could ask another question. Who is our rock and our fortress, our refuge? You would answer God, Jesus. That's the foundation of this prayer. It's God. He begins with God in verse 3. And yet, I'm afraid for most of us, we don't live that out. We don't live out this type of prayer. We begin reading in verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places. What's your first thought when you read that, when you, not just now, but when you read this in your private times or in family, what's your first thought? And my first thought, even as I prepared this afternoon, after I've already known what I was, hopefully I was going to say, I did this. I went immediately to every spiritual blessing, and I was like, I want to know what that is. I want to know what the spiritual blessings that I will receive are. Is that you? Do you do that sometimes? Did you in the past, or even this evening, did you skip over, just like, because this is just usual language from Paul, you know? Did you skip over, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ? Did you just skip over it and get to the next part? He who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing? Do you come, when you come to the Scripture and when you come to worship and you want to hear the preaching of the Word, do you come and the reading of His Word? Do you come and the first question you ask is, how does this apply to my life? What does this have to do with me? Is your first thought yourself, in other words? And we've come here this evening to worship one being, and that is God. But have you come here for yourself? Have you come to hear the preaching of the Word and because you really like hearing the preaching? Because you want to hear something. How is this going to help me? How am I going to be edified because of what I'm hearing? Is that your question this evening? Is that why you came? Did you come to be uplifted because your week in the past has gone bad and the future might be bad as well? And so you want to be uplifted and encouraged and sent on so that you can live your life, the Christian life, as it ought to be lived. Have you come for encouragement? Is the only reason you have come because you want something for yourself? Some of those things I just asked, they're not bad. It's not bad to want to be edified. It's not bad to be encouraged. It's not bad at all. But is that the first thing? Is that the only thing that you think about when you come to worship? We come to worship God and exalt His name. We call this worship because we worship God, not ourselves. And because we're sinners, we want to typically come to worship and seek ourselves. We want to seek those. We want to seek first outside of worshiping God. We want to seek that edification. We want to seek that encouragement. And it's not bad in and of itself, but yet we should not be coming only or first to seek our own desires and to seek the Lord to fill our needs and our wants. We don't come here first for that. We come here first to worship God. When you come to verse 3, do you come in the same way? To hear about your God? To see your God? Or do you come and you want to see what every spiritual blessing, what that is? I guess this is a theme lately. We've been in Genesis. You have to start with the foundation. The foundation of this prayer is our God. It says, blessed be God. You want to know why this is a life-changing prayer? You want to know why this is why this could change your life forever? It's because it begins with the first three words in your Bible, or the first four words, blessed be God, or blessed be the God. If we start with the foundation, everything else is going to follow accordingly. And we'll get there to these spiritual blessings, and they are great and they are amazing. Yet, first we have to come and see these first words. Blessed be God. And we have to embrace that saying that theologians have said many times, there is a God and I am not Him. Is this a life-changing prayer because you receive spiritual blessings? No. This is a life-changing prayer because of the God who is blessed. Is every spiritual blessing in this verse the most important thing in life? No, it's not. For you, Christian, what is most important in your life? And the first thing you would say, well, it's God. Practically, is that true? Where is that not true? Turn from that sin. And so as Paul begins here, he wants to reorient our way of thinking. Even for the Christian. Even for the Christian who is saved and who is being sanctified and maybe is on living a much better life than those first convert type of Christians, and you know your doctrine a little bit better than others. He's trying to reorient your way of thinking as well. That this prayer is specifically designed to take your focus off of you and put it on the Lord. He wants your life not to be focused on these blessings of which you receive, but on the God who gives the blessings. How do you go about your family worship or your private worship? When you're reading, do you start to ask the questions, what does this have to do with me? And you want to know those great verses like in Proverbs, you want those pithy statements at the very end of Proverbs, the one-liners, you want those things because those are great little gems. You love those things. Are you looking for those in while you're reading the Scriptures? Are these verses encouraging me to you? Are these the questions you ask first? Or are the questions that you ask first is, what does this verse or passage or chapter teach me about our God? What does this show about who God is? What does it declare God to be? How is He holy here? How is He love here? How is He great and awesome and mighty here? Are we asking those questions first before we get to the application? Because if you start with the application, what does this have to do with me? How is this going to change my life? Then, again, your foundation is here and you've gone to the second part. You're the experience and the life you live won't be based on the true doctrine. And so first questions that we must ask are who is God here? What is He declaring Himself to be here? He must be first. He must be the source of all things, even these blessings. And so this prayer reminds us that God is more important than everything else. He is blessed. And God being blessed, it says, blessed be God. And maybe you're questioning that. What does that mean? For God to be blessed does not mean that we somehow in our prayers bless God. To bless God would mean, or bless anything, to be blessed is to receive something greater or grander than you have. And there is nothing that is greater than God. And so there's nothing that's grander than God. And so this is not a blessing that we confer upon the Lord. But this is praising God for His wondrous works and for giving us the spiritual blessing, these blessings that He's given to us. It's bringing and ascribing God to His greatness and His goodness and His power and His love and His glory and His honor and giving thanks to Him alone. Paul says, blessed be God. To draw your attention to God's worthiness to be praised and not what you receive personally. We are to be drawn to the God who is blessed. The origin of all blessings comes from God. He is the source of all blessings. Praise Him from whom all blessings flow. James says it in James 1:17, every good and every perfect gift comes from above, coming down from the Father of lights. The source of all blessings is God, and specifically here, God the Father. This is a Trinitarian prayer. You see the sections. The first section is really dealing with the Father, and then we'll get down to verse 10, 9 and 10, and you think even before that, verse 6, and it's focusing on Christ, and then verses 12 and 13, the Holy Spirit. But first here, we're dealing with God the Father. And the Lord Jesus, the God the Father of our Lord Jesus. So the Father, that He has brought these blessings. And so it is Him who deserves all of our praise and all the glory and all the honor. That's where we start. And we have received these blessings, surely. Yes, verses 4 and following, we receive all those blessings. And yet, Paul is saying, don't get it wrong here. Don't misunderstand what I'm saying. Look at what it says at first. Don't let the blessings blind you to what you have to do, and that is worship God and praise His name. What is most important in your life is not to succeed or to feel good, or be comfortable, or to be healthy. Your purpose in life, what is most important in your life is not for you to receive blessing. It's to glorify God. The chief end, what's man's chief end? Children, you should know this. Man's chief end is to glorify God. Not be blessed by God. That's not your chief end. That's part of it. But the chief end, the most important thing, is for God to be worshipped and God to be glorified. When you think of situations or even hard ones like suffering, what is most important in your suffering? That the suffering stop? That God makes it go away? That your suffering ends? No, it's not. It's that God receive glory from your suffering. God's glory is most important. In my blessings, what is most important? That I receive more that I keep having them, that I enjoy them. No. Chief end of and what is most important to your blessings that you receive is that God is given glory. And that's what Paul's doing. He says, blessed be God for these blessings. This is not about ourselves, it's about God. When God is most important in your life, and God's praise and glory is most important in your life, then everything in your life is going to change. And so if suffering comes, you're focused on the Lord and His glory, not on your pain and suffering. You're going to be focused on how the Lord is merciful and gracious. He's already saved you, yes. And I'm going through suffering now. So what? I've been saved from my sins and the wrath of God, which is for eternity. That would have been towards me. That's what I deserve. And yet, I'm suffering now. And it's going to be for a short time because this life is short. How much more has Jesus suffered? How much more glory does He deserve? We're not focused on our own pain and sickness and suffering. We're focused on the Lord. Paul gives us a good example in Corinthians. He says, are they servants of Christ? I'm a better one. I'm talking like a madman with far greater labors, far more imprisonments, far with countless beatings and often near death. 5 times I received at the hands of the Jews the 40 lashes less one. 3 times I was beaten with rods. Once I was stoned. 3 times I was shipwrecked. A night and a day I was adrift at sea. On frequent journeys in danger from rivers, danger from robbers, danger from my own people, danger from the Gentiles, danger in the city, danger in the wilderness, danger at sea, danger from false brothers and toil and hardship, though many a sleepless night and hunger and thirst, often without food and cold and exposure, and apart from other things, there is the daily pressure on me of my anxiety for all the churches. And then he says what? He says, if I may boast, just even the thinking that he has to boast in something. He says, if I must boast, I will boast of the things that show my weakness. The God and Father of the Lord Jesus, who is blessed forever, knows that I am not lying. In the next chapter, he has the thorn in the flesh. And he says, 3 times I pleaded with the Lord about this, that it should leave me. But he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly of my weaknesses, so that the power of Christ may rest upon me. For the sake of Christ, then I am content with weaknesses, insults, hardships, persecution, and calamities. For when I am weak, then I am strong. Does that sound like Paul was thinking about himself and his sufferings? He was in some sense, yes. He was recounting his experience to you so that you could see that he has probably been through, well, he has for all of us. He's been through more sufferings than anybody here. So if you tried to live up to him, you couldn't. And then he says, he does not boast in himself. He's not worried about the blessings, or he's not worried about the suffering. Though he does ask God to take it away, which is quite good because we are to lift up our desires unto the Lord. But he says that Jesus said, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is perfected in weakness. And he boasts in his weakness, which means he boasts in the cross, which means he boasts in Jesus. And he boasts in the strength of God, and he boasts in God's glory. That's what his purpose is, to bring God glory. You remember when the serpent said to Eve concerning eating from the forbidden tree, he said, you surely will not die. For God knows that when you eat of it, your eyes will be opened and that you will be like God, knowing good and evil. What was the devil doing? He was He was trying to separate in Eve's mind and Adam's mind God from all blessings. And now if we do that, we will go down a dangerous road. We cannot separate the God who gives the blessings, the blessing giver, from the actual blessings. And so that's why we start with God, the one who is blessed, who must be glorified. And so you're to ask yourself the question, when I'm in whatever circumstance I'm in, whether bad or good, whether I'm at work or home or school, wherever I am, whatever circumstances you are going through, you're to ask the question, how can I glorify God in this moment? And I know that's hard to do because thoughts come into your mind about various things. And in our sin, we think about other things. We don't ask these questions, but this is the questions we have to ask. How can I glorify God in this moment or in this moment? What is the most righteous thing I can do right now to bring God glory? Your life is to be filled with questions of how can I serve Him now in what I'm doing? Always asking, always seeking to worship the Lord. Not only on the Lord's Day in public worship or in family worship, but in all of life we are to worship the God, to be living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to Him. Is God your delight? Is God's glory your delight? That's what you put first in your mind. That's what has to happen. God's glory and God being first in my life. It has to be. What's first? Is that true of you? It should, this change of reorientation of what Paul's trying to get across to you and what the Lord is trying to get across to you, it should take your selfishness and your covetousness and your desires for things that are not yours, even good things. Even blessings that are not to me or to you, and you see in others that take the Lord blessing them or blessing another church, it should take that away. And we should praise God for what He has given. We should praise God for who He is, who He's God. And so, as we think about the foundation of this prayer, we think it is God. It is God, and we respond in worship, and we respond with giving Him all the glory, all the praise, all the exaltation. Because what is most important in life is not your pleasure. It's not your needs. It's not getting your job done. It's not receiving these blessings. This every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ, that's not the purpose of our life. That's not what is most important in our life, in other words. But it's God. And it's His glory. And may we say, and may we sing, and may we pray, just like Paul prays here in the first prayer, this type of prayer, when we will rise in the morning, when we go to bed at night, blessed be God. For He has done wondrous things.